Welcome to the IT Babble podcast, where we talk about educational technology and a whole lot more. You can find our podcast on iTunes, please subscribe, or your very favorite podcasting app. Also, you can find our blog at www.itbabble.com. Welcome back, everybody. It's the IT Babble podcast. Tony, it's Easter. Happy Easter to you. And it's probably spring break. It's spring break for us. It's the last day of our spring break. And I'm wondering if it's spring break for you guys, or if you had it earlier, or if you're having it later, or what's the deal?
Our spring break was earlier, and we had like they decided to cancel school I don't know if it's going to be for the rest of the year, but they decided to do the initial cancellation the Friday before spring break started. And then we came back after spring break, and we've been doing online learning now for a little over 3 weeks.
Yeah, the governor here in Indiana canceled school for everybody for the rest of the year. He was supposed to make we were canceled until May 1st. And then we were going to go back and finish the year. But he just felt he and his team just decided, his administration decided, why take the chance? We're just going to cancel school. So it's canceled. We're doing distance learning. We'll be picking it back up on Tuesday. We're making tomorrow a work day for our teachers. So if they want to go into the building and scan some more stuff or gather more resources, they're allowed to do that just as long as they don't stay and congregate and all that good stuff. So, yeah. It's been, one thing I've noticed is that our community has been pretty active over spring break. They haven't usually, the email is quiet and dead, but I've had a lot of email over spring break from teachers, parents, and students. Has it really been very peaceful for me? not that that's terrible or anything, but it's nice to stay busy during this time. But it's just kind of interesting. I don't know if you're seeing the same thing on your end.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are busier doing remote work than they are at their actual campuses.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
If you work in technology, I'll just say it like this. If you work in technology and the staff feel you are competent, or the students feel that you're competent, they are turning to you very often to ask questions about everything, not just IT related.
Yeah. And that's good. I think that's always a good thing. So, you build trust with the community it's good. And one thing that we have changed since this is our spring break, starting next week and for the rest of the year, we are going to be using Zoom instead of Google Meet, which is now Google Meet officially, or Google, what was the other one? It's either Google Meet or is it Google Hangouts? I don't know. They always have a branding problem when it comes to their messages. We're switching over to Zoom. And let me tell you, Tony, I reached out to Zoom before we even went to distance learning. So that was about almost a month ago. And I finally heard back from them last week. And what I heard back from Zoom was, hey, we are slammed. We can't talk to you right now. If you are interested, just go online and buy it. But we didn't want to buy it because the only option was for a year. We didn't want a year.
Right.
So I found a vendor locally who is a partner with Zoom, and they have the ability to create organizational accounts.
That's good.
Yeah, and they said, we're going to give you a 2-month trial that should carry you to the end of the year, then just cancel the trial after that. And it was set up very fast. They were very, very good. If anybody in Indiana is looking to switch to Zoom or is looking for some better Zoom support, this is probably, I can just leave a message on IT Babble or email me at patrickcolley@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to pass on the information.
And let's be clear that like there's a difference between what you're doing and just signing up for Zoom.
Yes, when you sign up for Zoom with the basic account, it's different. Yeah, do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so you've got a this is what happened at my school. My counselor school, like guidance counselor came and said, my organization needs to confirm that our tools are HIPAA compliant. And it gets really confusing. So K-12 schools don't have to be HIPAA compliant. But if the counselors at the school belong to a professional organization and that organization requires HIPAA compliance, the counselor cannot use tools that are not HIPAA compliant. So I dug into all of the platforms just to do a comparison.
Yep.
We're using Microsoft Teams. It is very compliant, and not only compliant, it's got a third party auditing report where a company's come in and tested it. And so I generated all the documentation and I sent it off so she could send it to her association or whatever. But while I was doing that, I looked at Zoom, and what I found was before Zoom decided to be free for a bunch of people, you had to sign up and pay for the educational tier.
Yep.
Or the healthcare tier. They weren't free. And those paid tiers, the original plans for those paid tiers have the compliance. But I think what Zoom did is they opened up their basic tier, and they created something for schools to use kind of in an emergency, so they could kind of have like a, it's like a hybrid. It's like an organizational account, but it's just got the free stuff that comes with the basic tier. And when that happened, I believe they let people sign up as an organization, but they were using tools that weren't as compliant as the educational and healthcare tiers.
Yeah.
So by signing up as an organization properly, you can sign up and get the compliance that you need.
It's not just HIPAA compliant. It's also, and this is more for the United States or our schools in the U.S., it's also FERPA and COPA compliant as well. As opposed to the Zoom basic account, which I've looked and they kind of hint that they think that it's compliant. Zoom sign kind of hints in the privacy section. But if you look in the K-12 section and the privacy section, they outright say we are FERPA, COPA, and HIPAA compliant. And so that was really important for us because we were just our teachers. My gosh, hold on. Let me start with Zoom bombing. Can we start there, Tony? And how this got blown way out of proportion. So for the people out there not familiar with the term Zoom bombing, that's where somebody unwanted joins your Zoom meeting. And then they do something for laughs or hilarious, and it might be showing pornography on their screen or writing awful messages, or and then they get kicked out of the meeting, and it ruins the entire meeting for that time. And this made lots and lots of news. Even NPR, NPR ran an article last weekend. And I think I had 8 people email me within an hour of the article being released, saying, "Hey, do you know about this? Are we okay? Is Zoom okay?" But the whole Zoom bombing thing, it's always mentioned, but it's always mentioned it buried in the article, is that it's completely preventable from the host. The host just has to turn on a few settings and make Zoom bombing pretty impossible, actually, almost impossible to do. And this is not a fault of Zoom. This is a fault of the host of the Zoom meeting. That's really what it came down to. What these articles should have been is, this is Zoom bombing. Here's how people are getting in. Here's what you can do to stop it. That's what all the articles should have been about. But no, they just talked about Zoom bombing, and it made it imply that it was Zoom's fault, which it wasn't. It really riled me up. I thought it was really, really egregious. You know, the schools are in a tough time right now, and they're trying to find the best tools that meet their community. And Zoom is offering some tools, and there are problems with Zoom, which we'll talk about. But Zoom bombing is not one of them. This is not a real problem. This is something that was completely blown out of proportion by the tech blogs and various media outlets because they didn't bother to actually dig into it. I wrote a six-page guide with pictures, which shows our teachers how to keep Zoom bombing from happening. And Zoom has turned on a few features by default. You'd have to turn them off in order for Zoom bombing to actually partake. And then there's just bad practices too. But I mean, it was just blown out of proportion. Anybody out there who is worried about Zoom or the Zoom bombing, probably you don't have to worry about it anymore. I don't think you're going to see much of it, if any of it, going forward. And if you do see it, it's because the host was negligent on their part. I just want to say that. That's it. I just want to start there. And now we can move into the privacy, Tony, because this is a problem with Zoom. Zoom does have a problem with privacy.
Go ahead, Patrick.
All right. I'm on a roll. Apparently, they have been collecting data from people. When you install on your PC or on your Mac, they collect lots of data. If you're on your iPad, apparently it's sharing that data with Facebook. They, you know, Zoom has this great software, this great presentation and video conferencing software, and they offer it for free. And what they offer for free is really, really good. It's really good. And so in order to offer it for free, I'm sure collecting information is part of their business model. But they've been kind of cagey about they're like, well, no, we kind of fixed that, but then they didn't really fix it. And they're like, well, now it's encrypted, but their definition of encryption isn't the industry standard definition of encryption. And so there's been all these things that they've said, but they're not exactly true what they've said. And so they've run into some problems with that. So the privacy, I think, is a concern. But Zoom has said that they are not developing any new features for the next 90 days so they can focus on getting the privacy right. So we'll see if that happens. But you also had some other ideas about privacy, Tony, that I thought were very, very, very good. I thought they were very good. And this hasn't been reported anywhere, but it makes a lot of sense to me. Do you want to bring them up now, or do we want to skip over that, or
can you prompt me, because I have a lot of ideas about privacy and I'm not sure which ones you're referring to.
Okay, this one was a Zoom servers and their locations.
Yeah, so, and I can't confirm any of this. I'm just going to be very honest. I participate online in some like forums and stuff where there's security people and hackers and whatever. And Zoom has servers in China. And there's a theory that when they decided to open up and let people join who normally would have to pay and they gave them free access, that they were able to handle that increase by directing certain traffic to servers in China. Now, I know from working in China that all those servers are open to the government. And so the security was buzzing because it was like, that means you could be having a meeting and maybe you're a corporate client, maybe you're not. Where's your meeting happening if you're on a basic or free unpaid account? Because there's probably language that allows them to move unpaid services to any servers that make it feasible for them to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an issue. And I don't even know a way really to confirm it. I guess you would have to somehow get analytics on the Zoom call and try to figure out all the servers it's connecting to. But the other thing that came up in the security forums, people were finding that private information had been leaked after a call, including photos. And I'm thinking this has to come from the fact that the Zoom app is on the device, and it must be let's say that you have folders on your computer that are marked for public sharing instead of secure sharing. Maybe it can pull that data and then it just gets sucked into like some kind of server or database, and then people were able to get a hold of it. I'm not really sure, but I think this is what happens when you decide to take a platform that is designed for one concept. Like,
yeah,
we have a basic tier, but actually, you know, normally you have to pay. And within like a week, you just decide to finagle all your security settings to make it do something else. there's no way you're going to have time to test all those problems.
Yeah, and I like the server idea that you have to. I'm looking at a blog post from Zoom's website on April 1st, and they were doing. Hold on here. Where is it? There it is. Here it is, and I'm going to quote. I'm just going to quote. This is the middle of a. December last year, the maximum number of daily meeting participants, both free and paid, conducted on Zoom was approximately 10 million. In March of this year, we reached more than 200 million daily meeting participants. I mean, in order for them to scale that fast, they have to be utilizing every resource. I mean, we talked about this before we started distance learning, that resources were going to be taxed, and Padlet was down. Google was having lots and lots of problems. Khan Academy is operating their servers at over 100%. I mean, so what did, how is Zoom able to handle all that? And you're probably right. They're probably using their servers in China to offload the basic ones.
Or they had to for a short period of time. Like, it can just be that. It could just be, we got to do this for like 4 or 5 days. But, you know, the main issue here is with education, people sign up for institutional accounts. It's the responsibility of the school to know what you're signing up for. Like, Zoom could say, hey, we're not FERPA compliant, but you can use us if you want. It's that isn't really their fault. And I think the biggest issue that I had going into all this was telling my school, look, we have one platform. We can't support more than one. So I don't want people using Zoom because we can't support more than one platform. And we've trained everybody on one platform.
Yeah.
And we have, you know, 800 kids and they're on one platform. And that was really, you know, my main argument. And then I was kind of there, but there were a couple people who were still trying to be sneaky. But then the Zoom bombing came out, and some of the principals basically emailed the teachers and said, under no circumstances are you to use this tool with children. If you're using it for professional reasons, like with other adults, that's fine. And we don't let us hear that you've been doing this.
Yeah.
And then it was over.
So
at that point
for us, we, like I mentioned earlier, we're G Suite. And Google had enabled Meet for all the free G Suite for education customers out there.
Let's talk about that, because I know Google's made improvements weekly, but it's been pretty bad. I did a call with two people, and then I did a call with about 12 people, and these were all adults, and it wasn't even close to as good as Teams. And I've kind of ranked them. Like, if I just have to look at like core video conferencing, collaboration, just the core tools for video and audio, and kind of managing members, Zoom is number one, Teams is number two, and whatever Google's product is weekly changes is number three.
Now,
if I have to look at a product that has the video conferencing plus other features you need for an online classroom, Teams is definitely better for that. So it's like Teams is almost as good as Zoom is for the conferencing and managing. But Teams has a bunch of extra stuff for people who need to project manage and manage like lessons and assignments. And so that's where it kind of wins. But Google should have won this.
Oh, they should have won this.
You should be able to go into Google Classroom and just video chat. I don't understand.
And
they own YouTube.
They own YouTube. And now, apparently now, I think it was announced this weekend or late last Friday or Thursday, that Google Meet is now integrated into Google Classroom. But how long has that taken them to do that? How long? That's been all of March that they could have done that. And Google Meet, when we implemented it, here are our problems. One, the students could mute anybody in the meeting. They can mute anybody except for the host. which is the teacher. They couldn't mute the host, right? But they can mute and unmute anybody. If the teacher muted you, you could unmute yourself. You can mute another student. The chat, there was no regulation on the chat. There was no way to turn it off. It was just on. So people were just typing whatever they wanted. There was no way. It was a bare bones thing. And now, here's some confusion. There's Google Meet. There's Google Hangouts Meet. And then there's Google Hangouts. And they are two separate products. And Google Meet is much more efficient. So when I'm using Google Meet, it was fine. The computer was fine. But when we switched over, the admin team wanted to try out Google Hangouts. So we did. And within 1 minute, my fan started whirring. My computer started to slow down. Now, granted, I have an older computer. I think it's 4 years old. But still, that doesn't happen with Team and doesn't happen with Skype. Google completely bungled this thing. And then they made an announcement. They're like, hey, we made this. And now, another thing, if a teacher removes somebody, here are two other things. If a teacher removed somebody from the meeting, they could just join right back in. There was nothing keeping them out. And if a teacher ended a meeting, the meeting was still active for like 24 to 48 hours. It was active. Anybody could click on the link and get back in there and just have their own conversation.
So the meeting being active thing I found in numerous platforms, and I do believe that's because it's designed for meetings to run with like team. So this is how I believe it was designed. You're a team leader and you're working remotely and you have people on your team in different time zones. So you start the meeting and you basically sit there, and as people come online, you chat with them, make sure they got everything they need for their day, then they leave. And I believe that is how it is designed.
Yeah.
I also think that occasionally you start the meeting, you load up all the information. Because like in Teams, you can start a meeting and put a bunch of information in the meeting, and then you could leave, but all the other people could go through the information if they're late, and then they can end the meeting. So I believe that these are like tools designed for what I would call advanced professional collaboration. And those tools are hard to use with younger students, especially.
Yeah.
They just take advantage of the fact that the tool assumes the person wants to get work done.
And for us, I mean, we are concerned about the privacy, but we think that the functionality of Zoom and how well it functions, like the videos are so much clearer, crisper, everything just works a lot better. We think that the value that Zoom brings to us in this time of need is greater than the privacy concerns that they have right now. And the fact that we're on a K-12 account, so we're FERPA, we're compliant with the government.
Yeah.
That makes us feel good. it checks all the boxes that our teachers want. It's good. I think this is definitely the right product for us right now. Now, if we have to do this again next year, are we going to do Zoom? I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe Google will have gotten their stuff together and it looks better. Maybe we'll be doing Skype. Who knows? But for right now, Zoom is the best product for us. I recommend Zoom. I recommend Zoom. I think it's okay. If you're a big giant school district, maybe not. We're a very small independent school. I think we're okay with Zoom.
Here's my advice. If you're getting this, if you're listening to this now and you're 2 or 3 weeks in, or just you're starting online learning right now and campus is closed, which they are, and you went with Google and it's going bad, you can implement Zoom quickly. Teams is great. I love it. Like the more I use it, the more I actually think it's an amazing product. Teams requires setup. It requires training. It is its own ecosystem. It is a big platform. So it is Google Classroom meets Hangouts Zoom. You take all of it, package it together, and add Turnitin.com features and a bunch of other stuff, and you've got Teams. That's 3 weeks of training.
Yeah.
On and off. Not straight, but 3 weeks to train like 100 staff if you had them to work, you know, like regularly, and training videos and everything else. You're not going to get teams deployed as fast as Zoom.
No, and that's what I've heard about. That's what I've heard about teams. I've heard it from a couple, not just from you, but I've heard it from a number of different schools here in Indiana, is that, wow, this is really great, but there is a learning curve. You know, there is a real discomfort with everybody when you're just throwing them in there. Whereas Zoom, here's what it took for Zoom. I got the accounts. I got access as a, I got the my admin account on Friday afternoon. I sent an email out to all the teachers. We've already told them, we're like, hey, you're going to get a link from me, activate your account. This is why we're not using the basic account, why it's better to use this account. Go ahead and do it. It's going to upgrade your account. That's all it's going to do. Nothing is going to change. And that went pretty well. And then, within an hour, I had all the teachers in there, and support staff, and everybody who needed to be in there. And it was an hour. And then for our students, for iPads, we use FileWave. So we pushed out the iPad app. We have Chromebooks. So I went into Google Admin and pushed out the Zoom app. And so all that happened within 1 hour, all of it, 1 hour, done. And it took me about 2 hours to make the guides, the 6 pages, and send those out, which I did the week before. And that was it. So very easy, very easy. And then the response we've gotten from the teachers who have tested it out is, yeah, this is good. We're fine. I'm fine. We're going to be okay. We don't need much more training than this. I think we're good. So it's nice. It's nice.
So Patrick, we're hitting about 40 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Is there a couple other things you want to get into?
Let's talk about cybersecurity part 5. Just maybe a quick plug, because that's on IT Babble right now.
So yeah, I was writing cybersecurity blog posts, but I decided the next few I'm going to do like pure video, because I'm talking kind of more about future things that I believe should be implemented in the future. And part 5 is really like, okay, you planned all the security for your campus. Now everybody's working from home. How much money did you waste? And is what are the steps that you took for cybersecurity actually going to benefit you in this scenario? And did you enable your users not only to be smart, but to use their equipment properly? I saw so many people posting, oh, our kids don't have admin access. How are you getting them to install stuff? And I'm like,
yeah.
And their MDM, their like FileWave or whatever, isn't in the cloud. So they have to be on premises to use it. And they're just locked out. They can't. And then somebody's like, oh, we're just going to give all the kids TeamViewer. And I'm like,
no,
I like TeamViewer. It's great.
It's a great tool. But
it stays, unless you know what you're doing, TeamViewer stays running
all the time.
And that session stays exposed.
Yeah.
And I think TeamViewer is a great product. I love it, but I don't want it on student computers. One thing I love about Teams is I can connect with Teams and then take over a student's computer and work on it. But in order to do that, the student has to have admin access just to install Team. Like, they don't have to have it to install Teams, but they have to have it to give Teams permission to let me do that. And so this is like, people are kind of stuck now if they haven't enabled their users properly to be actually independent workers who can work without being at school. It's become a huge problem. And, you know, I'm just looking at, I talked about where people put their resources and their money. Like, if they were running entire classes, like a curriculum, if they were running a curriculum and they needed a computer lab to do it, they're in a lot of trouble.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about things like that. And it's kind of like a reflection on where we're at now. In the next few episodes, I'm going to be talking about, okay, you did this, it's over. What can you do going forward to start being more focused about the actual world we live in, where Iran, China, and Russia aren't attacking your school, so you don't need to spend $100,000 on a firewall.
Tony, I told you, it's not China or Russia, it's Iran. It's Iran.
Or like a full staff to sit there and watch the traffic and be like, Iran is hacking us.
That's sarcasm. That's sarcasm, people. Sarcasm.
They're not. You're not being hacked. And one thing I haven't seen, Patrick, I haven't seen any teachers or students, I don't mean mine, I mean in very large groups on the internet, reporting, I've been hacked at home, or my computer's been taken by ransomware. None of that's, I haven't seen that.
No.
What I've seen is people saying, I can't support my users because they don't have admin access.
Yep.
And I, you know, if you've got an MDM in the cloud, like Meraki, or using Chromebooks, you can do a lot remotely. But if you don't have that and you sent people home with computers that require an on-premises system to manage them, those people are just done.
Yeah.
Like they have to use other devices. So they have to do the one thing you never want them to do, use a device you've never seen that you have no idea what it is to start accessing all of your data.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's going to be different when all this is over. It's going to be different. That's all I'm saying. And so, I'm hoping that my next, you know, few posts on the topic are going to be good.
Mm. Yep. And our last topic, and we'll talk about this very quickly, is graduation 2020. So in Indiana, school has been canceled, as I mentioned, for the rest of the year, whether it be a public, private institution, from all the way up through university. So Indiana University, Purdue, Notre Dame, they're done. Dunzo. So a question is graduation. Like, what are we going to do for graduation? Our school is hoping that we can hold graduation early in July in person, on the premises. And we really don't have a plan for a virtual one, because what would that even look like? I wonder, Tony, what do you think a virtual graduation would look like?
Dude, we already talked about this at my school. I can tell you what it looks like, but I can tell you that it is not popular. Okay. Here's my advice. I gave the same advice to my school. I was like, tell everybody graduation will be in August. Just don't even go there. Like, virtual graduation is going to be like a massive, like, I don't know. First off, all the special stuff, like the music and whatever,
out the
you
window.
You really need to you got to pre-record it.
Yeah.
And you pretty much need to know what you're doing in order to be, doing a live event like that over the internet, which, as you can see from all the news people and entertainers in the world, their stuff sounds worse than the IT Babble podcast.
Well,
so
we care about our product. Like, you know? No, I'm joking.
We do. But what I'm saying is, like, most schools aren't going to be able to have a good product for a virtual graduation. So I kind of suggested to my school to, you could do a big commencement thing online where there's a meeting and, you know, everybody has a chance to read or talk or say something, but schedule a graduation for the future. I mean,
yeah,
I don't want to say anything, like, but I cannot imagine not being able to do this in another month or so. So I think August will be fine. That's my only view.
Yeah. I think the thing, not a good product. That's it. We talked about it. Our administration talked about it. And they're like, oh, are we going to have, you know, what are we going to do about music? And in my mind, I'm like, you're either going to pre-record it or you're not going to have it at all. And if we're pre-recording it, how are we going to get our band together for it, or our choir, or, you know, so we cut out that. And they're like, oh, what if we had, you know, we usually have three student speakers. We have our head of school, our head of middle school, and then the board president. So that's six speeches. We're not going to have six speeches. Maybe we can have a few of them. You know, if anything, I think it should be a quick word from the head of school, head of middle school, and then a few student speakers. I think that's great. And then you're off and you're like, yeah, you know, congratulations. And then just read off everybody's name. But it's not going to be popular. It's not, like you said, it's not going to be a good product. And it has to be quick because people don't want to sit there for an hour or an hour and a half looking at their computer screen waiting to hear one name. It's just, I don't know. Yeah. Yeah. We're definitely going to, we're shooting for physical in the summer. That's, I think that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah. Just reschedule it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's it. That's all I've got, Tony. That's all I got.
All right. Well, I think it's good. We've had quite a bit of a break. I think everybody was, we had spring break and then we have been super busy, but you know, my kind of work schedules, it's more stable now. So
yeah.
I think hopefully we can get another IT babble out next week. So we get back on track.
And, yeah. I've got a couple of, posts. I've got a Barco ClickShare. I actually have the unit. I brought it home. And I've reviewed it and, I'm going to be posted. That's pretty much written. I just have to go through and edit it. So that's going to be getting published next week. And I'm going to do one about the Microsoft. I forget what they call it, but it's their own kind of where you can connect to a display. It's a cheap little dongle. It's about $45. And I'm going to write a review about that one too. Anyway.
And I could write a review. I did finally get to do a full review. We talked about it, but I didn't really write about it. I could do a write-up on the ViewSonic screen. So ooh. I could do a full write-up on that. Yeah.
That would be good. That would be really good. Yeah. Yep. Sounds good. All right. Well, anyway, right. For IT Babble, I'm Patrick.
And I'm Tony.
And we will catch you on the next podcast. Keep on babbling out there and stay safe, everybody.